A lot of Christians today, they live their entire life not fully understanding what they have, the gift that's been given to them, the blessings that exist within them as being part of the body of Christ. I want to talk to you this evening about spiritual blessings. It's my aim through tonight's lesson for us to gain a better appreciation for the spiritual blessings that God has given us. That we come to a better understanding of what God has done for us, because I think a lot of Christians don't fully understand the sacrifice that's been made for them, what God had to do for them because He loved them. And so that's my goal for this evening's lesson. I'll start telling you an old story. Some of you might have heard it. It's an old American Indian story. It's about a young Indian boy who was out journeying one day and he found an eagle's egg on the ground. And so he picked up this eagle's egg and he took it and he placed it among a turkey's nest. Well, all the eggs eventually hatched, and this eagle grew up his entire life thinking that he was a turkey. He did things the way turkeys did. He scratched the ground for insects and seeds. He clucked. He gobbled. He never flew more than just a few feet off the ground. And he did this for several years, and time passed, and he grew older. And one day he was looking up at the sky, and he noticed this magnificent creature, this beautiful bird, just soaring gracefully through the sky. And he asked one of the turkeys next to him, he said, "What is that?" And the turkey replied, "Well, that's an eagle. That's the chief bird of the sky." But then the turkey said, "Don't you even think about it." He said, "You can never be that. You could never be an eagle." And so the eagle, the changeling eagle, listened to what the turkey said, believed what the turkey said. He lived his entire life thinking that he was a turkey, and he died not really understanding what he was. And I think that paints a good illustration, a good picture for a lot of Christians today. A lot of Christians today, they live their entire life not fully understanding what they have, the gift that's been given to them, the blessings that exist within them as being part of the body of Christ. I think a lot of Christians, they've been so imprinted with the way the world looks at them that they begin to think of themselves as the world looks at them, and they forget how God sees them. The world sees them as turkeys, and they start to think of themselves as turkeys, but God sees us, His chosen, as eagles, soaring high and beloved in His eyes. And so the first few verses of Ephesians tell us who we really are. It shows us our true identity. It reminds us what we have because we are new creatures. Paul begins this letter talking about those blessings that we have when we become members of God's family. The spiritual riches that are ours. You remember back, Paul is writing this letter from prison. So he's not really focused on physical blessings. Although God does bless us physically, He blesses us with temporary gifts while we're here on this earth. Paul is much more concerned about the spiritual blessings that come from God. And as he goes through these spiritual blessings, he does this to bring glory and honor to God. But another thing I want you to notice as he goes through these spiritual blessings, he does it in a way that in which he involves each individual member of the Godhead. He points out each individual member of the Godhead's responsibility in our salvation. And to be honest with you, I had originally intended to preach this sermon on all three of the individual Godhead's responsibility for our spiritual blessings. But as I started preparing this sermon, started researching it and put together, and I had to really stop with just the blessings from the Father, which are found in verses 3 through 6. If you continue reading on through verse 14, he describes the blessings from God the Son, and he describes the blessings from God the Spirit. But this evening, we're just going to talk about the spiritual blessings that we receive from God the Father. The first thing that I want to point out to you is in verse 4. One of the spiritual blessings that we receive from God the Father is that we are chosen by God the Father. Now let's talk about the word chosen for just a second. It comes from a Greek word which means to pick out, choose, to pick or choose out for oneself. Very closely related to another English word that we find in the Bible, election, which comes from a Greek word meaning the act of picking out or choosing. Now the two words have, sadly, they've caused a great deal of confusion in the religious world that we live in today. One of the ways that people kind of define this word or think of the word chosen or election is through an individual standpoint. This teaches that God, before creation, arbitrarily determined who was going to be saved and who was going to be lost. It teaches that God made this choice, not taking into account obedience, not taking into account disobedience. And it depends solely upon God's grace and almost just a mysterious will, if you think about it. It also says that the decision that God came to before creation is unconditional. There's nothing that can be done to change it. It's set in stone. It just simply was determined before we were born, and we had no choice in the matter. It takes out mankind's free will. It takes that out of the picture. And then some believe chosen or elected refers to God's ability to, from creation, look into the future and already know who's going to be saved and who's going to be lost. Who's going to obey and who's going to disobey. Who's going to be evil and who's going to be good. Once again, it's unconditional in the sense that God already knows it's set in stone and there's nothing anybody can do to change that. This too, once again, it takes mankind's free will out of the picture. I think the key to understanding the phrase chosen, especially here in Ephesians chapter 1, is to ask and answer the question, how did He choose us? Which Paul answers that question there in verse 4. He chose us in Him. Him being Jesus Christ. Indicates a general selection, not particular, a corporate idea. And not an individual idea. It's the idea of the entire body of Christ. The church as a whole, if you have it. In this divine and gracious purpose He planned to carry out in His Son, Jesus Christ. I like what Hebrews chapter 2, verse 16 says. It says, "For assuredly, He does not give help to angels, but He gives help to the descendants of Abraham." It points out that God did not come up with a plan to save fallen angels. He only focused on mankind. He came up with a plan to save mankind. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2 with me. 1 Timothy chapter 2, I'm going to begin reading in verse 3. "This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself as a ransom for all, the testimony born at the proper time." God desires that all men be saved. That's one of the things I want to point out from this verse. Another thing is He desires for us to come to a knowledge of the truth, to come to a knowledge and understanding of His Word and His will for us. But then the third thing I wanted to point out towards the end of verse 6 is the testimony born at the proper time. It indicates that there was a plan for Christ. There was a time fixed in His history, a day appointed by God, where Christ would give Himself for all of mankind. Look at 1 Peter. I just want to look at some verses this evening that kind of revolve around or center around choosing and election and things like that. 1 Peter chapter 1. Sticking with this idea that God has chosen or elected that all who decide to be in Christ, He saves us in Him, will be saved. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. It says, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by sanctifying work of the Spirit, that you may obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with His blood. May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure." Note, first of all, the epistle is addressed to the elected, or to the chosen. Once again, indicating these churches that are scattered through these areas that Peter lists here. But then also notice that it's by the foreknowledge of God that these churches and these members have been sanctified. Once again, going back to that idea, that foreknowledge of God, it's a plan. It was God's will from the beginning. Knowing that we would sin, He created a way to help us out. But then notice He says, He makes the reference to sprinkled by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now keep in mind when Peter's writing these letters, he's writing these letters mainly to what would have been a Jewish audience, that is, Jews who had been converted over into Christianity. And so he uses this idea of sprinkled blood, referring back to the Old Testament as an illustration of the blood being sprinkled on the altars, which was a foreshadowing of Christ shedding His blood on the cross and how they got forgiveness under the old law and how we get forgiveness under the new law. But then another thing I wanted to point out to you is that we're sanctified through the working of the Spirit. Now, what's the Spirit's purpose? The Spirit's purpose is to reveal God's will to us. Spirit often referred to as the mind of God. We refer to it as the Bible, the Word of God. Jesus would say in John 17:17, "Sanctify them in thy truth, thy word is truth." Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 says that we are washed or we are cleansed by the Word of God. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. One other thing I did want to point out before you do turn there is the last thing that he says here in verse 2 is that we are sanctified through God wanting us to come to Jesus and obey Jesus Christ. But look at verse 22 of chapter 1. It says, since you have in obedience to the truth, purified your soul for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. Once again, obedience is involved, which puts into play man's choice, man's free will, man's ability to make a choice. And so, just to kind of sum up what we've talked about here in 1 Peter chapter 1, the election of God, that body of Christ, it involves God's redemptive plan, His foreknowledge, Christ's sacrifice, Him shedding His blood for our sins, the Holy Spirit's revelation of God's will to us, and mankind's obedience to that Word, to that will of God. Let's look at just a couple other passages before we move on that kind of deal with our responsibility, our choices. Look, you're in 1 Peter. Look over at Peter's second letter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. "Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about His calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things," it's talking about the Christian graces, "you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you." His calling or His election for us is something that we have to make certain of. It's our responsibility to make sure of His calling for us. Let's go back to the book of Ephesians real quick. Ephesians chapter 4. Keep in mind this one body, the body of Christ. We're chosen in Him, is what Paul has already said in chapter 1. But beginning in verse 4, it says, "There is one body and one Spirit, just also as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all is over all and through all and in you all." Once again, just pointing out the fact that there's one hope that everyone is called in. We're all called in the same hope, and we all have that opportunity and that hope and that desire and expectation. While you're still in the book of Ephesians, let's flip back to chapter 2 and verse 10. Talking about God's choice of using the body of Christ to save us through, to save us in, and we get to choose whether or not we want to be in that body. Look at what he says in verse 10 of chapter 2. "For we are all His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared," when? "Beforehand, so that we should make the decision to," what? "Walk in them." So we get to make the choice. God predetermined those works beforehand. We get to make the choice whether we want to abide by those works and do those works of God. And so, once again, just to reiterate, His choice is this body, or He chooses us in Him, that being Christ, before the foundation of the world. He came up with this plan before He even created us. And then going back to chapter 1, our key text for the evening, Paul gives us the purpose of His choosing for us. He says that He chose us to be holy, to be blameless, and He chose us in love. Holy, talking about this idea of us being set apart, being unique, being different from the rest of the world. Without blame means that no one is going to be able to accuse us. We don't have condemnation. And then in love, God has surrounded us with His love. It just looks at us with a sphere of love around us. And then going back to this idea of spiritual blessings, another blessing that we kind of get from the text is that God the Father predestined us to be adopted as His own children. Once again, it shows this desired relationship that God has for us. He wants us to know Him. He wants to have this relationship with us. And no matter what we've done to mess that relationship up, He still desires us to come back to Him. And so we've been predestined to be adopted as His children. Well, let's talk about the word predestined. We're kind of centering our lesson around one topic it seems like this evening, but I think it's important that we define some of these terms. The Greek word meaning to predetermine or to decide beforehand. Once again, the verse speaks to that which God has predetermined beforehand. He's predetermined a plan. He has not predetermined the man. If you want to remember it that way, let's look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, I'm going to begin reading in verse 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom He predestined, these He also called. And whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. Once again, the foreknown or the predestined there in verse 29 are connected back to what He says in verse 28. They are the ones who are called by God. They are the ones who love God. How do they have to be called? Well, they have to be called according to God's purpose. We have to be called according to His purpose. How do we get called according to His purpose? Well, let's look at 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, verse 13 and 14. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you, when? From the beginning, for salvation through sanctification by the what? By the Spirit, by the revelation of His Word. And faith in truth. Truth is, once again, faith, something that God desires us to come to the knowledge of. We've talked about that already. And it was for this He called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. The call was according to His purpose, and according to His purpose was through the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, which He, once again, preordained or predetermined from the beginning. The gospel is something that we choose to obey. Listen to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8. It says, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17 says, for it is the time for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? Going back to what we just read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul says that He has called us through faith in truth. Once again, truth, something coming from God, God's desire for us to come to a knowledge of, and that all of these require, notice that all of these require a part of man's free will. Man making the decision to be a part of this body and to come to the knowledge of this. Let's look at one other scripture. We'll kind of bring this lesson to an end. Look at Hebrews chapter 5 with me. Hebrews chapter 5, I'm going to read verses 8 through 10. It says, although He was a son, He learned obedience from the things which He suffered. And having been made perfect, He became to all those who obey Him the source of eternal salvation, being designated by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. And so Jesus is willing to save anybody and everybody that obeys Him. It's not something that has been predetermined by God in the sense of an individual giving of salvation to individuals just arbitrarily. It's open to anybody who wants to come to Jesus through obedience. We'll go back to Ephesians chapter 1. Just go back to the key text as we wrap this up. Ask the question, why did God come up with this plan from creation, before He created us? Why did He come up with this plan? Paul answers that. Says in verse 5, towards the end of verse 5, that it was according to the kind intentions of His will. Some of your versions might say according to the good pleasure of His will. Putting it simply, it pleased God to come up with the plan. It was something that He wanted to do. And by His divine will, He has made it possible. Think about this, some of the things that we've talked about this evening. If it was according to His good pleasure, as Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, and if we do not have a choice in the matter, like some would say we don't have a choice in the matter, and then referring back to what we read in Timothy, that God desires all to be saved, then why didn't God just predetermine that everyone that He created would be saved? Now, we know that's not true because many scriptures in the Bible tell us that many people are not going to be saved. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 talks about this broad pathway that many are going to find that lead to destruction. Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, "Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven." But the point here that I wanted to make, the spiritual blessings that we receive from God the Father, it was something that He thought of before He created us. It was a part of His personality, His love, His kind mercy, grace towards us, and His long-suffering towards us. He knew that we were going to mess up. He knew that we were going to sin and that we would break that covenant with Him. And He wanted and desired to have a relationship with us. And so He came up with this plan for us because He loved us. And that's part of the blessings that we receive from God the Father. It's His plan. He's the architect. But we kind of go back to the illustration of realizing what we are, the illustration that I used at the beginning with the turkey and the eagle. It kind of helps us to realize who we are in God's sight, to know that He thought of us before we were ever even born, that He thought of us before our mama's mama's mama was even born. And it just really shows the love that God has for us, for those who obey Him and want to have that relationship with Him. Maybe you're not a part of the elected that we've been talking about. Maybe you're not a part of the chosen in Christ. And I want to tell you that Jesus will have you tonight. He will have you into His body tonight. If you will come to Him, willing to believe, willing to confess His name, repent, that is to renew your mind and make a commitment to Christ, to be baptized, immersed in water, have your sins forgiven, raised up to walk in newness of life. Some of you might have done that. Some of you might have fallen away. Some of you might have fallen back into the worldly ways and let the world leave their print on you. Why not recommit tonight? Why not ask for forgiveness?